You are listening to Radio Maria Canada, a Catholic voice wherever you are.
I've got no regrets. I wouldn't change a single day.
Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, and sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired with this confidence, I fly unto you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer me. Amen. Brothers and sisters, welcome to the Father's Quilt. I'm your host, Christina Doyle. Here we are embarking on the second week of Lent. Wow, it's going so fast. Stop already. Like it's just unbelievable, isn't it? Time is going quickly, and I just hope that you, our listeners, are enjoying your Lenten journey, and maybe you've decided to address an issue or something that's been weighing heavy on your heart. And I pray that it comes to be resolved during this time. And I pray for all of you that you all draw closer to our Mother Mary, and that your prayer life, hopefully you've made more room in your day-to-day life for prayer. Brothers and sisters, I don't know if you noticed, but my voice is kind of a little off and I'm coughing sometimes. I've been waiting for the last couple of months for an ear, nose, throat specialist, and there's fluid in my ear, and it makes it hard for me to hear very well, as well as speak for long periods of time. And so it has affected me, and I'm not sure if you've noticed it, but I'm apologizing to you so that there is a reason why I sound the way I do. And maybe it's okay with you, and that's great. But in case you've been wondering, that's what it is. It's not like I have a cold, but the constant fluid. And I get this. I've had this many years ago, and it's when I'm in the shower and I'm washing my hair, and water gets in the ear and it gets behind a certain area in the ear, and then it's lodged in there. And what they basically do, it's really cool. You have to go into the hospital to do this. You sit in a chair. It looks like a dentist chair. And they give you a needle in your arm, and then they put in a tube. And within a second, you can hear this, like you can hear the water just come out, and that's it. You're done. That's how quick it is. But it's not done in an office. It's done in the hospital, you know, in the day surgery thing. But it's really quick, and it's not painful at all. But it's such a nuisance, and I guess I've learned my lesson now that it's happened again after all these years, that I'm going to need to wear earplugs when I'm in the shower, because I don't want to go through that again. Anyways, here we are. So sorry if I sound a little weird to you, and hopefully that problem will be rectified very soon. If you could please, if you have your Bible, and if not, then you could write down this scripture. It's Matthew 6, verses 7 to 15. So Matthew 6, verses 7 to 15, and I shall read this to you. "And in praying, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then like this: Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Well, you know, this particular phrase that I'm looking at, this sentence, "Your Father knows what you need before you ask him." That's a real comforting phrase, isn't it? God knows the thoughts deep within our hearts before we even recognize them. Thank goodness for that. Many days, myself, I've had a hard time deciding what to cook for dinner. And then that deciding on important matters in my life can seem overwhelming at times. And my thoughts on what I want versus what I need, what is right, are often on a collision course. It can be hard to figure out a way forward, but if God knows what I need, then why do I have to pray? Often people will use the phrase, "let go and let God." Here is an instance where this is very much the case. We pray not to give God a laundry list, but to be mindful of the inescapable and redeeming presence of God in our lives. It is through prayer that we come to hear God's voice rather than our own. And here, and little prayer, "Lord, teach me to be still and listen. Help me to know what I really need." And then, if you can, in your Bible, turn to Luke chapter 11, verses 29 to 32. Okay. "When the crowds were increasing, he began to say, 'This generation is an evil generation. It seeks a sign, but no sign shall be given to it except the sign of Jonah. For as Jonah became a sign to the men of Nineveh, so will the Son of Man be to this generation. The Queen of the South will arise at the judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them, for she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, something greater than Solomon is here." And I'm just making sure that, yes, and following verse 32. "The men of Nineveh will arise at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and behold, something greater than Jonah is here." So today, many of us would feel uncomfortable if we encountered Jonah publicly proclaiming the need for repentance. For some, street corner preachers are the stuff of cartoons, typified by the image of an addled, robed messenger holding a sign saying, "The end is near." We might hear Jonah's message and recognize its importance, but the public nature of it makes us squirm. Yet, as Jesus makes clear in today's gospel, the message still needs to be heard, even with a different delivery method. The need for repentance and the possibility of forgiveness that Jonah preached are made flesh in the Son of Man. We don't need all sorts of signposts to direct us or educate us. We have a Savior. The one we profess is always with us. We need to recognize the signs he offers to us to point us in the right direction. So how can we move beyond the acts of Lent to make repentance a daily return to God? And then again, in Matthew 7, I'm just going to get to Matthew myself. Matthew. Oh, I'm at Luke. I have to go before. Matthew 7, verses 7 to 12. Verses 7 to 12. Okay? All right. I love this. Ask, and it will be given you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. Or what man of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him? So whatever you wish that men would do to you, do so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Matthew's passion narrative here documents Jesus telling his disciples that the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. That very human weakness can keep us from understanding what Jesus means when he tells us that our prayers are heard and answered. Appreciating this today's gospel requires us to abandon our willfulness. Except for the saints among us, that can be very, very tough. We need to stop dictating in prayer and start being more open-minded, ready to accept the will of God. Prayer is not a magic spell that keeps loved ones from dying or stops us from losing a job or experiencing difficulties and disappointments. When we knock on the door, it is an act of trust. In asking, we will not be ignored, brothers and sisters. The challenge for us and our ultimate joy is learning to submit, recognizing that God is always listening and always extending a hand. And also in Matthew chapter 5, verse 20 to 26, for I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that it was said to the men of old, you shall not kill, and whoever kills shall be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother shall be liable to the council, and whoever says, you fool, shall be liable to the hell of fire. So, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First, be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Make friends quickly with your accuser while you are going with him to court, lest your accuser hand you over to the judge, and the judge to the guard, and you be put in prison. Truly, I say to you, you will never get out till you have paid the last penny. You know, granting forgiveness is impossibly hard. When our trust is broken, especially by someone we love, well, a very particular kind of pain is seated on our hearts. And it can seem really impossible to escape, like it's just there in your face all the time. But it can be equally challenging to seek forgiveness, to admit that we have done wrong, especially when we see the suffering we have caused the people who love us. Seeking forgiveness requires reflection, and sometimes what we see isn't very pretty. It means admitting we have failed in some way, and no one likes to admit that. Our relationship with God, though, does not occur in isolation. We relate to God not only through prayer, but through our engagement with others. All the candles, all the rosaries and intentions in the world are meaningless if our actions don't echo our prayers. So, brothers and sisters, I pray that all of us find the courage to say, I'm sorry. I promise to work on it. And I think when you do that, that forgiveness and that anger will pretty well melt away. You know, this second Sunday of that's coming up, this second Sunday of Lent, at moments of birth and death, the veil separating this life from eternal life becomes thinner than normal. In the intensity of the moment, we see clearly that life, my goodness, life is a precious gift for which we are called to be thankful. And those concentrated moments focus us on, and we recognize what is truly important in life. I imagine that every encounter with Jesus while he walked this earth had that same potency. In his presence, people could see, hear, and feel the infinite, and it invited them to be fully alive. In the moment described, the veil is swept aside, and earth and heaven are momentarily one. God speaks a message to Jesus, but it is a message that God wants all of us to hear and live from. This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. There have been too many times, I'm sure, in your own life when you've tried to initiate change by voicing your criticism of someone, hoping that when they heard some harsh words, they would see that you are right and they would alter their behavior. Well, probably we know now that what people really need from us are words that help them to believe that they are beautiful and lovable. They need a reassuring hand on their shoulder and to hear, don't be afraid. I will walk with you on the journey. Brothers and sisters, this whole element of not only reconciliation, but of forgiveness is a big, big part. You know, there are a lot of people angry in this world, and they're angry because maybe somebody's done something horrible to them, you know, and they carry this cross, this burden, and you know, you don't get over it like that. You have to address it. You have to address it and deal with it. And the way you deal with it is through prayer. It's through prayer, brothers and sisters. There's no other secret to all our problems. It's going through God and having Blessed Mother intercede for you. And she will. She will intercede, you know. So, brothers and sisters, this Lenten journey is a beautiful one. And, you know, as I said before, granting forgiveness is hard. But you know what? We can do this. Here is a lovely little scripture from Matthew 5:46. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Well, I'll confess, when I hear some scripture passages, sometimes I have to get past my head, shake, and think about what is really being said. As a wife, a mother, a daughter, a sister, and a friend, I have been overwhelmingly blessed with people I love. And I hope that is the case with you as well, dear listener. And on a good day, I even remember to be thankful for that. But of course, that's not the kind of reward of which Jesus speaks. We are called to do more than respond just to the blessings in our lives. We are called to do more, especially when we are so blessed. So today's challenge is to see the face of God in all whom we encounter, even in those who annoy us, those who frighten us or anger us. We cannot effect change with hate or disinterest. Remember this sentence. We cannot effect change with hate or disinterest. If I believe that God is love, then I must see that love in everyone and offer that love to all. So ask the Lord that you are looking for strength and courage to confront your biases and learn to share your love. So this is, as I say, you know, you might consider volunteering maybe at church, maybe at your children's school, if you have time. I mean, you know, I mean, some of us may have jobs during the day and it's lovely to volunteer like that, but you might not be able to. But let's say you go to church and maybe you go there an hour earlier and just, you know, clean up something and maybe dust off the benches or something what Father might ask you to do. But, you know, brothers and sisters, Lenten is a real awakening of the soul for each one of us. Yeah, a time to look inside and to sort of, you know, declutter, clean it out, you know, hang them out to dry. You know what I mean? Time to toss out stuff. And try to say to yourself, you know, this is a wonderful time for me to seriously, you know, this person has been annoying me for so long. But if you speak through your heart, brothers and sisters, and you address this, you confront this person in a very gentle manner, when you do that, the person lets down their guard. But if you go and confront them and you start pointing the finger and accusing and things like that, well, you're bound to get meet up with fire, because fire only breeds fire. So you're not going to do anything different. But definitely, brothers and sisters, is a time to really take stock of ourselves and to say, okay, what do I need to do to make myself, to bring myself to be closer to God? What do I need to do? Do I need to increase my time with prayer? Then maybe I can do the rosary in the car when I'm going to work. And maybe you're not going to finish the rosary maybe by the time you get to work. But if you don't, well, you'll finish, maybe you might finish it on the way home. So, you know, turn off the radio and have some quiet time. It's really a transforming journey, right? And you don't give up on yourself and don't say, oh, well, you know what? I'm hopeless. I've done this mistake, you know, and you can't forgive yourself. But you know what? God has already forgiven you, brothers and sisters. He is a forgiving God, and he loves you, right? And he just wants you to come to him and, you know, tell him what's gone on in your life. Tell him that you need help. Ask the Holy Spirit to enter into your life, and he will help you. He will help you. You know, in Romans 8:31, if God is with us, who is against us? So St. Paul asked the ultimate rhetorical question, if God is with us, who is against us? So often our attention is caught up with others who offend or challenge us. And for the fortunate among us, it may be simple things like the person who cuts in front of us in the grocery store, or the one who, or in the traffic, or who constantly disagrees with us in a meeting. But for many around the world, the challenge is serious, with the threat of violence or other forms of persecution. And often that persecution is in response to religious beliefs. There is solace of knowing that God is always with us. But St. Paul, who suffered death because of his zealous faith, reminds us that God gave up his son for all of us. All of us. We are called to be in solidarity with those who suffer, mindful of our privilege and offering our support. So let's use our prayers and our gifts to help others who suffer, brothers and sisters. Because God is with us. God is with us. So I'd like to share that lovely transforming prayer before I go. because it's, as I say, it's a lovely prayer, and I think it helps. I really do. So let's do that, and then we'll close up. And I just want to thank you for the second. This is now, again, as I say, we're second week of Lent. And as I said before, I'm sorry the way my voice sounds, but so far I haven't coughed any, which is a real blessing in disguise. That's great. All right. A Lenten prayer for transformation. You may want to bow your heads. Loving Father, I invite you into my life today and make myself available to you. Help me to become the best version of myself by seeking your will and becoming a living example of your love in the world. Open my heart to the areas of my life that need to change in order for me to carry out the mission and experience the joy you have imagined for my life. Inspire me to live the Catholic life in ways that are dynamic and engaging. Show me how to best get involved in the life of my parish. Give me courage when I am afraid, hope when I am discouraged, and clarity in times of decision. Teach me to enjoy uncertainty and lead your church to become all you imagined it would be for the people of our times. Amen. Brothers and sisters, that one sentence, teach me to enjoy uncertainty, right? Brothers, when we enjoy uncertainty, brothers and sisters, that no matter what comes our way, we have such faith in God and trust in Him, and we believe in Him, that He is in control and He will take care of us, then you can rest. You can rest at peace. You can go to bed and put your head on the pillow and let go in terms of, like, not to worry about anything, that God has a handle of your life. God is in control of your life. He wants nothing more than to bless you and have you have an abundant life of joy, of prosperity. That's what God wants. He wants you to live a full life, a happy life. Because if you trust Him and you know who is in charge, and remember, we're not trusting Him with some of our things in our life, but with all our being. And everything that we have, brothers and sisters, our gifts that we have, our talents that we have, we didn't earn that. That all comes from the Lord. So we have much to be thankful for during this Lenten season. So let's remember the attitude of gratitude. So thank you. God bless you so much for being with me this afternoon here on The Father's Quilt. And I look forward to seeing you next time. Bye for now, everyone.
You are listening to Radio Maria Canada, a Catholic voice wherever you are.
I've got no regrets. I wouldn't change a single day. A single